How can anyone, whether they want to work in a language school or privately from their own laptop anywhere in the world, create a rewarding and impactful career teaching English as a second language, even if they are just starting out or have no teaching experience or ability? Hi, my name is Lynette Kim, and here on the TESOL Talk podcast, I aim to answer that very question.
In these podcasts, I refer a lot to a thing called a bag of tricks. And I don't always explain it. I give some examples. But I thought in this one, I would briefly go over what a bag of tricks is, why you need it, how it's going to save your life in the classroom, and my favorite items in my bag of tricks. So to start off with a bag of tricks, this is a group of games, resources, activities that you always have up your sleeve, ready to fill in gaps where a lesson finishes early for whatever reason, or perhaps the material doesn't work and you have to change it up. So you need an activity that you can adapt something into. And that's what this bag of tricks is. Now, there are certain things with a bag of tricks. Some people remember these items in their head. They don't walk around physically with a little folder with things in it or a USB drive with things on it. And that's simply because that's not always viable to open and look at and figure something out while you've got a classroom of students staring at you. So it's best if you have things that are already ready to go in your mind and you can quickly just get going. So my favorites for my bag of tricks. Number one, there are things that I use as games and I adapt vocabulary activities into, whether I'm teaching children or adults, and that's backs to the board. Backs to the board is where I put the class into two teams and one person from each team will come up the front and have their backs literally to the board. And then I'll put a line between the two people on the board, halving the board, and write something behind the student. It could be some vocabulary that we've been using in the class. Usually it's related to verbs or nouns. And then the rest of their team, which I try to keep the class split into two teams, each on each side, have to call out what hints and tips to what the word is behind that student. That student has to guess it. But it gets very loud, very noisy, loads of fun. So the first person with their back to the board that figures out what their word is, that's a point to the team, and then we swap and another person comes up from the team, puts their backs to the board, and we go on over and over and over until, you know, we have points scored for whatever period of time. Lots of fun. I love to do this with study tours. It just gets so much fun and energy happening in the class, but adults love to play this one too. And it can be adapted for different types of vocabulary and, as I mentioned before. Now, another one on a similar vein that I like to use is Pictionary. And we all know what Pictionary is. Students come up, it's kind of like a reverse back to the boards where they're drawing something and the students behind them have to they have to guess. So it's great to use. And for low-level students where, again, they're focusing on nouns and verbs, this is a lot of fun too. Another thing that I, game-wise, that I use a lot is charades, where we have people acting out scenarios. So if you've been talking about different occupations and you're teaching adults, you can have them coming up in pairs and acting out different occupations for their teams to guess. And you just have occupations written on a piece of paper. They read it, they act it out, or you could just do it as a whole class activity. Loads of fun. Now, and a staple that has been around since ESL teaching and beyond is Hangman. And this is a really great game if you just have 5 to 10 minutes of class time to kill, or you want to end the lesson off with some fun. And so it's the classic Hangman where you draw up the guillotine thing, the hangman's noose thing, and then you put the words up with each letter of the word represented by a space, and students have to guess. And don't forget to let the class do a hangman with you, but make sure they use a dictionary because they spell wrong, and it is so frustrating when that happens. And my all-time favorite is speed dating. Now, speed dating I use when I have at least 30 minutes or more of spare time, usually when I'm thrown into a class to take over because something's happened to the teacher, and so I'm going to be there for an extended period. You can't really squeeze this in less than about 20 minutes, but you can do it with 20. Now, speed dating is where you have students write on a piece of paper their hobby or something that they're good at doing. It could be cooking a particular recipe. Keep it specific. It could be fixing something on a car. It could be playing a musical instrument, painting, art, whatever. So students write this on a piece of paper. One half of the, you want the class in a long line, so you've got to get everyone to move the furniture, and you have on one side of the boardroom style table, students sitting down in front of them with their theme, like their activity that they're good at, in front of them. The other half of the class walks around, looks at all of those pieces of paper and chooses something they're interested in and sits down to talk with that student. And then everyone sits down and you go start and they talk, and you stop them at 5 minutes because you want to keep that energy high so you don't wait for it to peter out. 5 minutes, ding, 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 stop, stand up, everybody switch sides. So then the side that was originally standing sits down with their pieces of paper and the other side comes up and chooses who they're going to speak to. And you can swap that one over 5-6 times depending on how many people are in the class, and you'd be amazed at students moaning and groaning going, oh, but I'm right in the middle of something and I want to talk more. But you're keeping that flow